Listen, got to set the stage, or this whole thing doesn't make any sense at all. So we got to kind of back up a little bit and set the stage for this. So you know we're going chapter by chapter by chapter, yes? And we're just doing little snippets in each chapter, right? Right. So chapter 5 doesn't make any sense as it should unless you know how 4 ends. So here's how 4 ends. Jesus and the guys all jump in a boat. They're heading across the sea. A mighty wind blows. The water's coming in the boat. Remember the story? Remember the story? Jesus asleep. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. Oh no, help us, help us, help us. And they wake Jesus up. They say, hey, don't you care? So he stands up and he speaks to the water. It calms down. He speaks to the wind. It stops. And then he said to them. Now they've been together a while. And he said to them, why are you so afraid? Why are you afraid? Obvious answer, wind, water, boat, sinking, drowning. But he said, why are you afraid? As if the wind, the sea, the boat, the sinking, and the drowning wasn't the worst thing that could ever happen to him. He said, so what's wrong with you guys? Why are you afraid? Do you still, implying what? That they have had no faith. Do you still have no faith? Verse 41. They were terrified. New King James says they were exceedingly fearful. They were terrified, and they asked not him, but each other, who is this? Who is this? That even the wind and the waves must obey. They've been with him a long time. By the time you get to that point in the Gospel of Mark, they've been together for a while. And yet they ask each other, who is this? Who is this? So then we go, now get the picture. The gospel's written to be read, boom, all the way through. When they first wrote the gospel, they didn't plan on chapters and verses and stopping and starting and snippets and snap, all that. It was meant for people to sit and read it through. So you, the reader, just read the story, yes, about the boat and all that kind of stuff and the waves and then why are you afraid and da-da-da-da. Then you start reading these three stories. These three stories in chapter 5 follow that. So here we go. Verses 1 to 20. Remember the story about the guy in the cemetery possessed by all the demons? Jesus shows up and the demon speaks to Jesus, and we'll see what he says in just a second. And then they go on. So the first part opens with the man with the demons in the cemetery. The second part is Jairus' daughter is dying. So it's 21 to 24, then it jumps 35 to 43. Our story is 25 to 34. The woman who touched Jesus had the issue with the blood, and she touches Jesus, and she is cured. All three of those stories, then, remember, are following the disciples' mess in the boat. All three of these stories reveal the powerful relationship of God to humanity through Christ. God to humanity through Christ. Disciples scared to death. He says, why are you afraid? Do you still not have any faith? You read then these three powerful stories of faith. Three powerful stories of faith. And the message is to the reader that these people demonstrated greater faith than you know who, than the guys in the boat. But there's much more to them than just that. These are three powerful stories that are woven together. And so we're going to look at the three stories and what they share in common. Then we're going to go to the woman and look at her, and then we're going to go to Holy Communion. So all together, they cover the three realms of complete healing. Three stories, yes? Three stories. First one, spiritual healing. Guy in the cemetery, possessed by the demons. Jesus shows up. Doesn't say a word. The demons speak to him. So it's a spiritual healing. The woman, physical healing. Jairus' daughter, immortality. She's dying. She'll be dead by the time Jesus gets there and he brings her to life. So these three stories, now you got to stay with the picture. You have the disciples who are just losing it, and then you read three powerful stories where Jesus does incredible acts of healing that fit the totality of the realm of living life. He heals spiritually, he will heal physically, and he will give new life. All these people found that hope and divine reality was far above and beyond themselves. The man possessed with demons could not cast out the demons himself. The town folks came to try to help him. The demons in him attacked them. They bound him with chains to try to secure him. Did you hear that noise? You know who that is? That's our gorgeous little granddaughter. So, I'm thinking, she can make all the noise she wants. Now, if it was your granddaughter, it'd be a whole different story, wouldn't it? So, anyway, they find that healing is above and beyond themselves. And above and beyond humanity. So the guy in the cemetery, the townspeople can't heal him, and he can't heal himself. He can't cast out his own demons, and the people in town just go out to chain him. He breaks the chains, he runs rampant, he runs naked through the cemetery, having a great time, I suppose, because he's filled with these demonics. The woman has been everywhere. She can't find a doctor who can take her and heal her. She's tried everybody, and so now she finds that healing comes only from beyond herself and beyond humanity. She has to reach out. She doesn't realize it, but to God. And of course, the girl who is dying and will die can only find new life through Christ. Jairus cannot raise her his own daughter from the dead. No one can. Only God can do that. They all realize his divine power. Everybody in this story realizes, in some form or fashion, a hint, because they can't completely state it or succinctly clarify what is happening, probably not much better than we can, that there is divine power, there is something going on in Christ. And so the demons, Jesus walks up, we finally get to this part, Jesus walks up, and the demons start to yell at him, "What do you want with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" So the demons know who Jesus is. The demons know who Jesus is. Listen, the guys in the boat, what did they say? Who is this? But the demons know who he is. The man celebrates who he is. As Jesus gets back in the boat, the guy who had the demons, he said, "Hey, can I go with you? Can I just go with you? We had such a fun time here. Can I just hang out with you? You're cool. Can we just go? You made me well. Can I go with you?" He said, "No, you need to stay here. You need to stay here. Because your statement of faith, your act of faith, your surrender to me has made you whole and made you well, and you need to stay here to continue to show that." That he realizes Christ's divine power. Jairus, he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come, put your hand on her so that she may be healed and live." Put your hand on her. Just come touch her. That's all you got to do. Just come touch her. A statement, again, realizing the power of God through Jesus Christ, or some type of power in Christ. Because, again, do they make the connection? The demons did. But do these folks? Probably a bit beyond them. And then finally, our woman, because she thought, "You know, if I could just touch his clothes, if I could just reach up to him and go and touch his clothes, just touch him, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be healed." Because there's something about this guy that is healing people. She's heard the story. She's seen the stuff going on. She's read the paper. She's watched Fox News and CNN. And she's seen all this stuff and live interviews. And she knows that she just touches him, everything will be better. They all find victory. They all find victory over what is taking their lives away. Listen, the guy with the demons, those demons will eventually kill him. They'll wear him down emotionally and physically and spiritually, and they'll just end his life. And he finds victory through Christ over what's taking his life. Because the power of God is in Christ to give us victory over what steals our lives. Our woman touches him. Immediately, the bleeding stops. She felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. And so immediately, she finds victory over what's going to steal her life from her. Because eventually, they'll kill her. But she finds victory over what's taking her life through Christ. And obviously, Jairus' daughter gets up and walks around. She finds victory through God in Christ and what's taking her life. Our story. Why pick this one? Why not pick the guy out in the cemetery all chained up running around naked? Why not talk about him? That could be a little more exciting than talking about her. Or why not Jairus? Here's the reason. To say that there are evil spirits in this world and to say that evil spirits are able to whisper in my ear and tempt me to do things I really shouldn't do, some folks agree with. And some folks would say, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Good Christian folks. Good Christian folks. Do not believe that there's a devil. And they will not embrace the fact that there is a presence of evil in this world. But Jesus says it. Paul says it. And believe it or not, we've all experienced it. But it's one of those topics that's kind of like out there somewhere. It's like, yeah, we got it, but we don't really want to focus on that. And then the other story, raising of Jairus' daughter, that there is the opportunity for new life after death. And we all know people have passed, obviously. And our hope is that they're in the kingdom. But that's like out there somewhere. Because we really want to talk about our death. And we are, you know, very hopeful and convicted of where we're going to spend eternity. But that's out there. This woman, she's right here. This woman is right here. Listen, you've been to the doctor's office. You've been sick as a dog. And you sat in that waiting room with all those other people hacking and coughing and choking and gagging. And you said a 9:30 appointment. And you sat there till 11:30, quarter of 12. You've done that. And then they put you in that little tiny room. And you know it's going to be another 35 minutes before anyone comes in that door to check your blood pressure. You've been there. You've signed all those things for Medicaid, Medicare, health insurance, this, that, and the prescriptions and the donut holes and all that nonsense. You've been there. And I got to tell you, by the time I get out of the doctor's office and I spend 3 or 4 hours waiting to see him, I'm sicker than when I got there. I'm just mad sick. So you see, this is our story. She's our story. Because we connect with her. This is real. 12 years. 12 years. Tradition says she's a Gentile from Caesarea Philippi. Well, who knows? And in the big picture, who cares? When she arrived, if she's really a Gentile, and she pushed her way through that crowd, she made every one of those Jewish men ceremoniously unclean because of her bleeding issues. She suffered 12 years, been to many, 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 many doctors. She's been to Shan, she's been to Moffitt, been all those places. Spent all her money, and it's only gotten sicker. That's her deal. Her faith. Some theologians write that her faith is imperfect. Well, then, what is perfect faith? What's perfect faith look like? I don't know. Because I doubt anyone has perfect faith. They say that it's obvious she could not make a connection between Yahweh and Jesus. She couldn't do that. She wasn't a Jew. If she's not a Jew, she certainly can't make that connection. And no one has ever taught her or spoke to her to help her make that connection. So the great tradition is that she really viewed him as sort of in a mystical way, sort of like a magician that he magically can do these things, heard all the stories, seen all the reports on the TV and all that kind of stuff, read all the tweets and emails and all that, and saw all the videos on YouTube about all the stuff he's doing. But she just can't put it together in her head how he does it. And so he has this mystic, magical aura about him to her. But that's enough to feed her faith that he can do something. And it's strong enough to drive her through those crowds. Her faith, be it whatever it is, has got enough strength that it allows her to take action. She's not going to sit on the curb and wait for him to come strolling by and hope that he sees her and waves. Her faith drove her to do something. To do something for her, and it would eventually honor God. Her faith drove her to take action. Her courage allowed her to take that action and to put her faith to the test. Because she easily could have been sitting there saying, well, you know, it's him and yada, 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 and I'm not too sure how this is going to work out. And should I go? Shouldn't I go? Should I go? Should I? Nah, all those men and da, 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 da. And she could have just quit. But she didn't. She did. She was hungry enough, hurting enough at the bottom of the barrel that she found the courage to get through those men. Now, wait, you got to get the picture. Jesus is walking. And those men are walking with him. If she's only walking, she's back there. She has to get here. She can't walk. She has to push. She has to be aggressive. She has to make her way through those men. She has to get to him. She needs to get moving. Come on, let's go. She has to take her faith and let it be aggressively put into action if she wants to get to where he is. And that's exactly what she does. Touches him, healed. He says, hey, who touched me? She comes back in courage and says, I did. And I want you to hear the text where it says, she told him the whole truth. Who she was, what her history is, what her condition was, and yes, I've contaminated every man that I've touched and been near. And she wanted him to know all of it. All of it. Was she frightened? I suspect maybe. What was her gain? Immediate healing. Immediate healing. Holy smokes, immediate healing. The minute she touched him, it just got immediate healing. And she knew it. But that wasn't the biggest gain she made. That's not the biggest gain she made. No, 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 no. He said to her, he said, daughter, nowhere else in the Gospels does Jesus call a woman daughter. Only here. It's not a term of endearment. Now, he's not saying, now, babe, baby, sister, darling, he said, you are a daughter. You belong to God. You are God's. Your faith has made it so. Your faith has healed you. Your faith is the catalyst that allowed you to become a daughter of God. You're no longer just a Gentile from Caesarea Philippi. You belong to God. You are God. Because you had faith. It was a little screwy, but that's okay. And through that faith, you took action. And in that action, you've been made a daughter of God. A daughter of God. In each one of these three stories, all of them reach out. In one way or another, they all reach out. She reaches out with her hand. The man in the cemetery reaches out spiritually. Jairus reaches out from his heart. They all reach out. They all allow faith to be put into action, and the response they get from God is healing. But you have to remember where you are. It was only a few sentences ago when the 12 who knew him the best said, "Who is this? Who is this?" And three strangers know him and trust him with all that they have. And they all three reach out. And they all three find a healing. Because eventually they will realize that they reached out to his hand. And that his hand would be the hand that go on a cross. And it'd be his hands that would allow him to die for us. And it would be his hands that would bring us healing in every aspect of our lives. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, immortally. Each one touched him and he touched them. With the very hands that saved them. Very hands that saved you and saved me. This morning in Holy Communion, the story doesn't change. The reality that he can heal spiritually and physically and save for eternity is still the same story. 2,000 years later, different folks, but still the same story. And a reality that we not only reach out to him, but he reaches back to us is still the same. And he reaches through the bread. This morning we celebrate Holy Communion. The reach and the touch is in the bread. It's in the juice. We reach out for Holy Communion. And he touches us in it. We reach out and dip the bread in the juice. And he touches us in it. It's in Holy Communion that the connection is made. Where we're cleansed spiritually. We can be cleansed physically. And we celebrate the promise of immortality, of eternal life. It's in communion this morning. The picture's clear. Those with the shakiest faith, those with limited faith, those who have been bound by chains of all type of sin, those who feel plagued with whatever rages within them, those who feel they're dying, all can find new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul says, "For those who are in Christ Jesus," the demonic guy, the woman, and Jairus' daughter, even the guys in the boat, they're new creations. The old is gone, the new has come. Because they reached out to touch him, and he touched them. He sat at the table with the 12. He said to them, "This bread is my body, broken for the forgiveness of your sin. Take, eat. And as often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of me." Now, wait a minute. What are they going to remember about him? They're going to remember that day they were in the boat. They're going to remember the day they landed, and they're going to remember the day he healed the demonic, he healed the woman, and he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, and they'd be questioning still in their mind, why did we doubt him? He said, "As often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of me." Father, we lift this bread. And ask only that you allow it to become the body of Christ, and we receive it in remembrance of you. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to his disciples, and said to them, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it, for this is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Take, drink, as often as you drink of this, do it in remembrance of me. Father, allow this to become the blood of Christ for us this very day. And as we come to receive body and blood in communion this day, we reach to touch you with the assurance and the conviction of your touch upon us. We pray and ask in Christ's holy name. Amen.